Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a pundit perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, he's the Podonis, and tonight we're going to preview NRL round 15. Off a horror show round 14, we're at 1-5 on the best bets, and we dissected that in the recap. And I can just add, if you don't like us or you don't like what we do, you'll be happy to hear it's been a really hard time for us, and we really do hurt from the results. And we've spoken enough, I think, about variance, sample size, bigger picture. I think the fact of the matter is we're handpicking bets in 50-50 markets and we have a losing record after halfway through the season. And that's simply bad. And it might be hard for people to believe that a lot of hard work goes in every week with those results. But we promise you that it certainly does. And we want everyone that tunes in to really get something out of this for their NRL punting consideration. We care about the people that are in our community and that are here tuning in each week, because we wouldn't be here without you guys. So it does hurt when we fail you guys by not winning. It's certainly important that we're always reevaluating our process, as any punter should do. And I'll be the first to say my read on games this year hasn't been sharp enough, but I'm honestly still confident in our process, because I do think we're finding edges each week, and I do watch the markets very closely, and it's been very few occasions where we've given out a best bet on a Wednesday and the odds have ended up being higher or the line has been better than what we gave out. And in any case that has occurred through the first 14 rounds, pretty much every single time was when major player news went against us. Now, reading the market and beating the market and closing line value, that's only part of the battle. As I said, we've got to make better predictions too, but there is no magic bullet. We can't magically do something that will create a winning streak. It still goes back to game by game. We got to judge our confidence. We've got to try and line that up with opportunities, and the results will fall the way they do. And we still have four best bets to share for round 15 for you guys to judge, beginning with either team 1-12 in the Dragons Rabbitohs game at Wollongong on Thursday night. That's $1.85 on Bet365. You can also get $1.80 if you make it a same game multi on Sportsbet. Good evening, Podonis. Tell us why we like this one.
Evening, boys. Happy punting out there, everyone, this weekend. And look, this game for us, we feel that the Dragons are a bit closer to South than what the market does. And I feel it's a good home spot for them, where they can get their fair share of points and they can match it with the Bunnies. And I feel that they do get their best back line on the field as well, with Ravalara and Matt Feagai back on the wings for them. And it's a great play for us, as we're essentially getting Dragons plus 12.5, with the only risk that we lose if they beat South 13+. And I just can't see that happening either, given the recent form of South. So either team to win 1-12, that's our best edge in this game.
And on Friday, we're taking Manly, who hosts the Cowboys, plus 2.5 in the first half at $1.83 on Sportsbet. Looking at the forward packs, for me, they're very evenly matched. I don't know if Nanai is 100% or if the Cowboys had to rush him back after losing both starting back rowers last week. I think the halves are pretty evenly matched. Obviously, DCE will come back in for Manly. You've got home field edge to the Seagulls as well. I know that the Cowboys have the better outside backs and should be the favorites in this game, but I think both sides come in form and this game's high importance. And that's a key first half edge. I really believe even if you are getting a line that's, say, 2 points better than what it should be in a half, that's a very profitable play. So we will take Manly in that one in the first half. And then Saturday night, we've got two plays. We're taking the Eels straight up at $1.82. Play that on Bet365. I think it's the best price by a couple of cents. Plus, you will get EP and ETEC. If you know, you know. And Roosters under 3.5 tries at $1.85, which is on Dabble. You can copy now from Jacob Wynn and on Top Sport as well. Podonis.
Everyone's going to be fading the Eels this week after how badly they performed last weekend, as you saw, losing 30 to the Bulldogs. But as we know in the NRL, 1 week's performance doesn't reflect how a team will go the following week. And these teams did play Magic Round just over a month ago. And the line was Eels minus 3.5. And that was with Victor Radley in the side for the Roosters. So now they're at home at Bank West, and this line is a pick'em. And I just don't agree that the Roosters are the better team, especially with Keary under some serious doubt. And I would be very surprised if he did play this game, given his history with the concussions. So I have this line closer to 4. So we just have to take the value with the Eels.
Well, Rhea Hargraves also was there 3 or 4 weeks ago, isn't in this one. The Roosters have missed him. And the Roosters just had a grueling run. You go back all the way to Magic Round, but like they haven't had their bye yet. You had that really tough loss down in Canberra, tough loss last weekend. The Eels got a bye 2 weeks ago. I still think there's a difference there. The sides that have had a break already versus the sides that have played 14 straight weeks. And the Eels didn't even show up to play last week. So this is your classic good team, which I still believe the Eels are, off not a bad loss, an absolutely horrendous loss. So just got to go Parramatta. And you guys know we're kind of Roosters lovers. So the fact that we would be willing to go against the Roosters probably shows that we definitely dislike the spot for them. That's our four best bets. And I will say this too, for a conspiracy theorist, as we make no secret of it, that Toppy and Dabble are the two major sponsors of the pod. And the best price you can get on that Roosters play, which we very strongly need the Eels with two best bets, is on Dabble and Top Sport. So if you don't think we genuinely give out our best plays, people certainly like to suggest that, you don't have to just say it. You know, there's as all our bets are, 2-way, you can go the other side. So I want to be clear, I've never suggested that we would do that. 8 years running, thousands of tips running. We would never tip a dud or throw a loser in there. We're simply not that good. We have to try and pick every single play where we believe it's going to win. But I'm just saying, I feel like that's a perfect opportunity to call us out in the comments and back the other side. Good luck to you if you do. We're going to jump into all 8 games for round 15. But first, let's see how the markets are shaping up.
Hello, Tripod family. We are back to a somewhat normal week this week where most of the players will be backing up. Obviously, a number of them trying to push for an inclusion into the next Origin squads. The first game of the round starts off with quite a strong push towards the minus. The Rabbitohs have been 4.5 out to 6.5, so that's been quite a strong move. Same as the Cowboys, they've been well backed as well. 2.5 out to 4.5. The game that's been the trickiest to trade has been the Storm Broncos game. Obviously, no Reynolds, Farmworth out. There's a doubt over a number of the other Broncos players, and then Papenhuyzen coming out today with COVID, even though he was only on the extended bench. So that saw the line go from 17.5 out to 18.5, and now it's back down to 15.5. So that one has certainly been the hardest one to trade. There's some wide lines. We've got a really wide line in the Panthers-Warriors game, 26.5. It's already moved out 3 points. And then the match to probably finish the round, which would be a cracker, in terms of closeness, hopefully, is the Bulldogs bouncing back last week against the Tigers. So it's quite a wide variety of your close games, with the other one being the Eels and the Roosters as a 1.5 line as well. And then there's some wide ones as well. So we'll see how that plays out. Good luck to everyone having a punt over the weekend. Make sure you check those team lists because, again, even though everyone's named in, there is a lot of key players in doubt for these games.
And hopefully one or two key player personnel decisions might go our way this week. We'll see. So Dragons, Rabbitohs, which you know we have a best bet either team, 1-12. The line is 6.5 with the Rabbitohs favourites in Wollongong. Ravalawa and Fiangai back, as you mentioned. The forward pack reshuffles a little bit for St. George. McCulloch gets a start in his 300th game. DeBellin's going to be prop. Sims will be the lock. South's same side, basically persisting with Nikarima at fullback for at least another week. Taff is on the bench this week, though. Obviously, Latrell, they're saying, is targeting round 16. He had a COVID setback as well. These sides met a few weeks ago, and it was a bludger of a game, I tell you. Error-filled encounter, which Souths did end up winning by 12. Since then, I feel like the Dragons have developed a bit more consistency in their spine, and that has allowed them to hang around in games unless their opponent is just too classy for them. So that's what this one comes down to for me. You know, do Souths have the ability to blow the Dragons off the park? I do think Walker and Cook, they have their days, but they're not necessarily carving up the competition every week. I do think Murray, Colin Matangi, some of the forwards in the South side are in really great form. But one of the reasons I don't mind our play, Podonis, and I can't see Souths losing this one by 13+. It is an important one for them, but I've still got question marks over halfback and fullback for the red and green.
Yeah, I would have felt a lot more confident trying to bet on South if I knew Mitchell was back, because I don't trust what Nikarima brings. And you're right, there are still some doubts around their halfback there. He has looked better than what the general public probably sees him as still, but I still think there's some clear issues with combinations between him and Walker. And there's a reason why both of those guys do have the highest errors in the competition. And that probably ties in with where Souths are sitting at the moment on the ladder. But I do feel that Souths have turned a corner. So I do respect what they've done the last few weeks. But I feel this is more of a bet on the Dragons, that they're a bit closer to South than what the market does. And we've touched on the fact that we think the Dragons can get their fair share of points with their returning players. And 8 straight weeks now, South have conceded 3 tries or more. And with the total hovering around 43, 44 points, if the Dragons can get to 16 or 18, then I definitely see them staying within a 12-point margin here, which is what I think can happen. And Tristan touched on this line moving from 4.5 to 6.5. I had this line set at 4.5. And usually when we do see a line that low, you probably get either team 1 to 12 in the $1.50, $1.60 range. So I feel that it's a pretty strong edge. We can get it at $1.85. And our first bet Thursday night, hopefully we can get a win and start the week well.
The other thing is you only play either team 1 to 12 if you like or at least lean to the underdog and you think they can keep it close. And I think another hidden edge is the fact that the Dragons weren't as bad as the final score reflected against the Cowboys last week, while the Rabbitohs might have looked a little bit better than they are considering all the adversity the Titans faced. On Friday night, Manly hosts the Cowboys. The Cowboys are 4.5-point favourites, as I said before. DCE in. The Cowboys get back Reuben Cotter, who will start at prop. Nanai is back from this ankle injury, which is timely for the Cowboys because they've lost Gilbert to an eye injury and Lukey, sadly, to an ACL tear. Lemuelu, who we've previously seen play at centre, will actually start second row. And there is the news this week that Luciano Leilua will join the Cowboys mid-season, which is massive for them, especially to slot straight into the void that has been left by Lukey, but that will be after rep round. So, Podonis, I'll ask you this question. Who has the better spine in this game?
Well, if Turbo was playing, I'd say Manly for sure, but you'd probably say the spines are even at this point, given that Manly have a deficiency at hooker, which I still is probably going to hinder them long-term heading into the year and into finals if they do end up making it. But yeah, if you talk about halves alone with the 7 and 6, I do find Manly have a pretty strong edge with Evans there. Townsend has played above his level, I feel like, this year, and did and still improving. And there is a reason why Brisbane did let him go in the end. So I don't feel at this stage that a half pairing of Dearden and Townsend can win a competition, but that's yet to be seen. And Cowboys have exceeded expectations so far this year. And when I did look at this game initially, I did initially feel like I could make a case for both sides, but I feel that it's a pretty strong edge with Manly in that first half, especially back at Brookvale on a 2-game win streak. And I feel much more confident that they are playing consistent and aggressive footy at the moment. And the only one win outside of the top 8. So I do feel that this win means a lot more to Manly than it would to the Cowboys. And when I do look at the Cowboys, I do think that they should be the rightful favourite, which is not something you would have said back in round one. Imagine what people would have had the line 16 weeks ago. But it shows you how far they've come as a club. But I feel in this game especially, it's going to be one in the forward pack. And with those injuries you touched on, and potentially Nanai not being 100%, I give the edge to Manly in the forward pack. And they have a strong chance of winning this game outright, but first half's the strongest play that we found.
Yeah, I mean, the forwards are even more boosted when you get DC back in the halves, which then shifts Schuster back to the second row, or in fact, he's going to play off the bench in this one. A couple of forwards that are trying to put their hand up for various rep duties. Again, Jake Trbojevic, wanting to state his case. And yeah, so I think the forward battle is actually very evenly matched right now with a couple out for the Cowboys and maybe a question mark over Nanai. I am a bit frightened of the Cowboys' outside backs, and they've got the playmakers there, not to mention there's a vacant wing spot for Queensland. It's very likely going to go to one of the two plays for the Cowboys in Tulangi or maybe even the Hammer. So it's a bit of an audition for them. But you mentioned the spine too. I think it is pretty even there, like the limitation of Croker, which you mentioned, and then Drinkwater also helps his halves out. But Garrick has found some good form in the last couple of weeks as well. Home ground advantage is a real thing too. That's why I wasn't interested in laying the points with the Cowboys, and it's nothing against them, but I just think it could be a pretty even matchup. My one concern, but this is more of a trend, and I'm not a big trend bettor. I actually think if something's well known, teams are conscious of trying to address that. The trend is that Manly's a flat track bully, and that when they play someone below their level, they beat them, and often they beat them well. But I look back, when Manly's been an underdog this season, it's happened 6 times. They've lost all 6, and they only covered 1, and that was the Eels game, you might recall, which they lost narrowly. So Manly have not been competing with other quality sides. That's what they face here, and that's the challenge that they're going to have to overcome. We've got them plus 2.5 in the first half, so we at least need it to be very even or Manly on top for the first 40. Later, Friday night, Storm host the Broncos. The Broncos are 15.5-point underdogs. So Papenhuyzen ruled out today. He was in the reserves, so that would have been looming, but we know now he's actually got COVID after obviously trying to come back from a hamstring injury. I will say the Storm outside backs held their own against a Roosters outfit that has a lot of talent in that department. And of course, the Storm got a big win in Sydney, and so they're unchanged coming into this one at home. Brisbane have got some force changes. Reynolds is out with a rib injury. Tyrone Roberts gets the start at halfback. I would have thought maybe you move Billy Walters to the halves, but of course they also lost Corey Pakes, the Broncos. So halves has Billy Walters has to start at hooker. Turpin, in fact, joins onto the bench. Sadly, Brisbane has lost Farnworth, as we know. Haas was cleared of a serious injury and will start. Same for Staggs, who comes back this week. And then Cobbo and Capewell, who got rests last week, are both returning. And I can't ever remember a team on a 7-game winning streak catching 15.5, but honest.
Yeah, and full disclosure, I was fully prepared to bet on the Broncos at 18.5 this morning. And I had all my reasons outlined why I thought Papenhuyzen was going to sit out the game. And then he gets COVID and takes that chance away from us, and the line drops by 3 points. And as you mentioned, 7 wins in a row. And when do you see two teams in the top four competing against each other with a line this big at 15.5? I haven't seen it for a long time, and it just goes to show how far ahead the market rates Penrith and Melbourne over the rest of the competition. But losing Reynolds is a big loss. There's no denying that. But we've seen Brisbane be able to cover him the last few weeks pretty well. So maybe the drop-off isn't as much as what the bookmakers think it is. And the way that I initially handicapped this game is that if both sides are at full strength, I'd probably have this line set around 8.5 in Melbourne's favour. So if you said Reynolds and Papenhuyzen cancel each other out, I guess it comes down to how much you downgrade Brisbane from there based on Farnworth and Pakes' injury and how limited someone like Payne Haas might be. And there's also the potential that Staggs may be in some doubt. So the line probably could be in the 12.5, 13.5 range. So is that a strong enough edge to take Brisbane when we feel that it's a good spot for both sides? And with Cobbo and Staggs returning, or potentially Staggs, but definitely Cobbo, then I do feel that Brisbane have some spark in the back line. And maybe I can't say the same about Melbourne, with the exception of Olam, even though they did cover those guys pretty well last week against the Roosters. So is the edge in the 6, 7, and 9 that Melbourne have enough to lay the points? The answer is definitely no, but I would lean Brisbane, but yeah, just can't quite get there.
When you say 8.5, that on a neutral or in Melbourne?
In Melbourne for me.
Mm. Oh, geez, I reckon you're definitely rating your Broncos pretty highly. But then again, what's full strength? Like, do we include Xavier Coates into that discussion as well? So there's obviously, at this time of year, everyone's got a few injuries, and then there's players playing busted, and that's the issue with a few of those injury clouds. As you said, you play Brisbane today because that line just seems a bit too high. Are we certain that Haas, are we certain that Staggs are going to line up from? Because if they start to lose them, and I also think, obviously Melbourne's at home, and let's give them like 3.5 for that. They're very tough to beat at Amy Park. Then you're talking about the rest of the line, the 12 points. The biggest difference in this game is Harry Grant, Jerome Hughes, Cam Munster. And are those three players together worth 12 points? It sounds like a lot. But you look at Brisbane is going to try and make do with Roberts, Mam, and Tamari Martin. It's a pretty big difference there. So Melbourne in a pretty good spot, I would say, could easily win this game comfortably. And the reason I say they're in a good spot too is, again, I believe the teams that have had the bye are that bit fresher, even though that was now, you know, a fortnight ago when the game kicks off, whereas Brisbane has played 14 straight. And while they've won 7 straight, as we know, they haven't beaten anybody in this kind of class. Last time they did play someone really good was Penrith, and I do recall Brisbane conceding about 40 points on that evening. I know they're better now, but I do think this line is justified. So we're willing to pass that one. Saturday, Sharks play the Titans. Note it's a neutral venue, Coffs Harbour, and the Titans are 13.5-point underdogs. Only a few weeks ago, these sides met as well. The Sharkies have named the same 17 that beat New Zealand and Finucane is in the reserves. That's one to monitor. The Titans will get back Brimson from COVID. Tino will start this game at lock. Clark, who was named in the New Zealand squad today, is named at 9, but monitor that because he does have a rib complaint. And you leaned to Cronulla in this one, Padonis.
I did lean towards the Sharkies, mainly because they've been trading win-loss since about round 5. So they really need to start to get a move on and get some consistency in their performances. And that's something that Fitzgibbon will be trying to instill in them. So I do feel that it's a good spot for them. And I also think that's a good matchup for them as well against the Titans' defense that's been struggling all season. And if I was going to bet on the Gold Coast, I'd have to be confident that they could score their fair share of points in this game. And they are one of those teams that can score a couple of points and can put on some tries in certain spots. But I just feel that after coming off two big home games where they tried hard and put in some big effort and they fall short on the scoreboard and they look up and they're pretty deflated about the results that just happened. So I can see them coming out a bit flat in this game. So I could only lean the Sharks, but I just feel that the bookmakers are setting a precedence where the line's a bit too high. And if it was just under 12, you'd probably lay it. But on a neutral venue, it's enough to pass the game.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I lean to Cronulla, but it feels a bit obvious. And I must admit, there's been some weeks this season, some games where I've said it just looks a bit too obvious. Everyone is on that team and everyone hates the team they're playing. And then it did end up being the result was as obvious as it looked. So I've probably cost us steering away, but that's just my instinct from, you know, and my experience that in the long term, you know, the Titans are now coming last. So how much value is there left to be had betting against the Gold Coast? They're that kind of side that I know has improvement in them. And certainly Brimson back, that alone, and Tino starting, you're going to get a little bit of a boost from that. I do think the Sharkies are off a win where they know they can find improvement as well. Like they were down 12-0, so that's an area they're going to address. And they probably got a bit lucky in the second half too with some of their tries, as we discussed on the recap. And so I think Cronulla, you certainly will get a strong performance out of them. I'm not doubting that. And I look at the Sharks playmakers they got in the back line, and I think these are scary guys that will take advantage of any defensive lapses, and the Titans are quite prone to that. And I do think the Sharks defense probably handles a Titans side that is really searching for their best combinations and structure. So they're just the unknown in this, as you said. Like, can the Titans score points? Because if they can't, we know they'll be letting them in. I do love the way Marzu's playing and the way he starts sets and is a bit of a beast one-on-one in attack. But Titans rely too much on individuals. They need to come together. It's going to happen at some point. Definitely won't be with our money on them this week. I think Cronulla should win reasonably well, but we just didn't find line value with the line over 2 converted tries. This next line is over 4 converted tries. The Warriors host the Panthers. -26.5 it is. I'm going to this one. In fact, it's the last time the Warriors are playing at Redcliffe. You know, I'll be honest, part of me feels nervous to even show my face out in public at a game when we have a losing record. That's how much I, you know, own the results, and I do feel bad about it. But I was invited along by the Undertaker, Barney, that's helping every week run the comps, that is giving people heaps of cash and jerseys, and Brent, longtime supporter, contributor. So shout out to those boys. Couldn't turn them down. Got to go to the footy with them when the opportunity presents itself. And the Warriors will be without Murdoch Masilla and Aitken, who are injured. Fanua Blake is in the reserves, which would be a huge inclusion if he was to be back this week. There's a debut in the halves, Volkman, who joins Johnson. So he's preferred over Harris Tavita, and also Arzi, who's in the reserves. Arthurs is in for Berry, who I think's been dropped on the back of missing some opportunities to execute some scoring chances last week. While Penrith, it's easy for me to update their team every week because it barely changes. They are absolutely charmed. The only change is, of course, the inclusion of Isaiah Yeo. Luckily, he has no lingering issues from that head knock copped in Origin 1. And I think I said this, I either said it a week ago or I said it on Sunday, that you just knew that was a great number that the Undertaker gave out, -21.5 in our group on Penrith in the look-ahead line. And you'd certainly be pleased if you're on that now because it's already a converted try higher, Padonis.
Yeah, that's a great line to get. It's the beauty of being able to bet early, which is not something that we have the luxury of, unfortunately, with a pot on Wednesday. But we saw how ruthless the Panthers were against the Knights last week. And even though this line is creeping up a bit too high at the moment, you just can't bet on the Warriors knowing that they're looking towards returning home. And Stacey Jones is experimenting with the side, as seen by the new halves pairing again. And with Origin potentially in the frame for a guy like Corrissey has been talked about, and guys like Crichton and Martin that want a strong performance to keep their jersey, then I would lean Penrith, but we're just not getting any value.
Yeah, there's not much else to say about Penrith. They've won 13 of 14. They are phenomenal. If you look back at their record the last 2.5 seasons, that's historic what they've done in the NRL regular season. They're fully healthy as well. They could cover this line in half a game if they're focused and if New Zealand isn't completely switched on. Now, you might be thinking, hang on, you guys bet against this Penrith side last week. So, again, we covered that in the recap. Couple of assumptions we made last week. One was, I thought it was a better than 50-50 chance multiple Panthers would rest. That was wrong. I also thought it was a good spot for the Knights to show up off the bye at home and fight hard. That was wrong. We certainly learnt the hard way there. But as you say, no appetite to take on Penrith again. And as for New Zealand, look, one thing I'll say about them, and you can take this as a positive or a negative, some of the mistakes they make and the lapses they have in these games are absolute schoolboy level errors. So that either says what kind of team they are, or it says that those are the types of mistakes that if they could cut them out, they could actually get significant improvement because they are hurting themselves just as often as the opponent is hurting them. So I think New Zealand have room for improvement. It's just that Penrith is not the opponent that you usually find your improvement in. No best bet on that game, anything other than a very comfortable Penrith win would shock. So this is a big one here. But as we're at the halfway point of the round, before we talk about Parramatta Roosters, we've got a couple of legends of the game to weigh in. And in fact, here's Trevor Gilmeister, who's going to give you his tip for all 8 games in round 15.
G'day, everyone. Here's our tips for round 15, 7 out of 8 last week. But I think a lot of people would have tipped that as well. So Dragons versus the Rabbitohs. I tossed around on this one. Got to go the Rabbitohs in a close one. Seagulls versus the Cowboys. Both teams missing a couple of players, but we've got to go the Cowboys. They're on a roll. How good are they playing? Storm versus the Bronx. Broncos got a couple of injuries too now. They'll have a go, the Bronx, but I think the Storm will be too strong. Sharks versus the Titans. Very disappointing, the Titans. The Sharkies want to stay in touch with the top four, so they got more to play for. Warriors versus the Panthers. The Panthers by how far? But I think they might even rest a couple of players themselves this week. Eels versus the Roosters. I've got to go the Roosters. Very disappointing, Parramatta against the Dogs on Sunday, or Monday. So, but yeah, I've got to go the Roosters in a tight one, I think. They'll play better, the Eels. Raiders versus the Knights. Got to go the Raiders there. They're starting to play okay again. So the Bulldogs versus the Tigers. The Dogs knocked me out of that perfect round. So I've got to go the Bulldogs. Can they back that performance up on Monday this weekend? So I hope so. So good luck with your tips and talk to you soon.
Poor old Axe in his perfect round. Mind you, most people had the perfect round, I suppose, going into Monday. Every favourite did win and cover, in fact, for that Parramatta disaster. And what you can take away from the Axe's preview of round 15, he's gone every favourite again, other than the favourite in this one, which is Parramatta, who are slight favourites, 1.5 points to the Sydney Roosters. Look, a week ago, I would have told you that these two teams are the third and fourth best teams in the comp. But as they meet on Saturday night, they'll be 6th and 8th. And needless to say, it's a massive rematch from Magic Round for both sides based on where they are on the ladder. And it's a massive match for us. And I said we've got a couple of legends to weigh in. So you know how we feel about this game. As I said, our best bet's just Para straight up and Roosters under 3.5 tries. But see if you can guess which side 300 gamer Robbie Farah is leaning in this one.
Hey, Dabblers, Robbie Farah back again for my roughie of the week. Had the week off last week after Origin. Disappointing result for New South Wales in game one, but hopefully we bounce back in Perth in game two. But in the NRL this week, some good matchups. I really like the Roosters. Outsiders against the Eels. The Eels were very poor last week against the Bulldogs. I know they'll be looking to bounce back, but I thought the Roosters were unlucky not to beat the Storm last week. Storm got away with that one, but I think the Roosters can get the job done as outsiders this week against the Eels. So jump on Dabble, Copy some bets, have some bets with your mates, and I'll see you guys next week. All the best.
Thanks to Dabble for bringing us those insights. Join them if you want to with the code Tripod. We are up against the bookies. We're up against Dabble. We're up against Robbie. We're up against the Axe in this one. So let us know how you feel about this game. Brad Arthur has named the same 17 from the side that that suffered the most stunning loss that I can remember in years. Look, it's one thing to lose as a massive underdog. We're talking about a 3-try or favorite, I should say, like a 18 and a half the line was on game day. So 3+ try, converted try favorite, but losing by 30. And again, let's think about this Parramatta side in the last 12 months. They've beaten Penrith in Penrith as a double-digit underdog. They've beaten Melbourne in Melbourne. They beat Melbourne last year as well when Melbourne was on the verge of the all-time winning streak and Parramatta was 20-point dogs. Parramatta also nearly beat Penrith in the finals. Don't forget how close they were to beating that side. But what else have they done? They've lost to the Tigers. They were about $1.05 on Easter Monday. And then they lost to the Cowboys when they were double-digit favourites. They lost by 30 in Darwin. And then to top it all off, a 30-point loss to the Bulldogs, as I said, on Monday. So maybe a moment's silence for all the multis that they've cost recently, whether it be due to them winning or losing unexpectedly, and especially that poor soul that had one paying $888,000 it was, and he needed Parramatta 13+, which is was about $1.50 on game day, and was the shortest leg in his whole multi, but it didn't even stand a chance the way they played. So I've just talked about how erratic their performances have been. Here we are. It's our job to figure out what to make of them, and we're actually betting on them. So, putting aside speculation, and I speculated in the recap, were they drugged, you know, by the bookies? Did they slip a sedative into their Gatorade? I don't know. Other than that, how does Parramatta get better? It has to be an attitude thing when you play that badly. And Brown looked a bit hampered too, and you would think that they could get improvement out of that if Brown's ankle is any better. For the Roosters, they've dropped Momorowski. Billy Smith comes in. Verrills does return at 9. And Keary, who you mentioned at the top, is a question mark. He is named at halfback. Any other kind of factors why you feel good about taking Para and the unders, leaning unders, and therefore a Roosters tries underplay?
Yeah, so we just heard Farah and Gilmeister both lean the Roosters. And I think that echoes the public sentiment this week that people are happy to fade the Eels given how bad they were. But I definitely don't feel like they should be downgraded too heavily from what happened last Sunday, because I'm happy to mark that down as an aberration and that we're going to see the best version of the Eels here on Saturday night. And I know people are saying that they have to contend with a short turnaround, but I do expect that there'll be max effort in all their preparation this week given just the staggering embarrassment of that performance last week. And with Mike Acebo back in his second game, they are at full strength. And we look at the Roosters, and they're coming off two losses, and I do feel that they will play hard and come to play as well. But there's something to be said for having really three tough and physically draining performances in a row, and that's exactly what they've had in the Sharks, Canberra, and Melbourne. And given the Eels are coming off a bye, I actually think the Eels are going to be the fresher team and the fitter team, given that they've only played one game in the last 2 weeks rather than the Roosters having their fourth game in 21 days now. So my other lean, what is he under? And I do think both sides have a point to prove, and especially early on, it's going to be tight and tense. So another bet that we were close to giving out was under 20.5 in the first half total. But ultimately, we just feel that the Roosters team total is a stronger play, especially with the scenario where Luke Keary can get ruled out, and I'm expecting him to get ruled out. And then this team total for the Roosters will drop to something like 16.5. And then the 3.5 tries will be long gone as a betting option. So Eels for us.
And the other reason to like lean under is, yeah, a little bit of an injury cloud to key playmakers on both sides. So I mentioned Brown and you mentioned Keary there as well. And the importance of the game, that you wouldn't think either of these sides would be giving up anything soft early. I also think sides take the two, and you know, if they want to exchange penalty goals or whatever, that's perfectly fine when we're playing a Roosters try total under. But ultimately, I really agree with what you're saying there about Parramatta being the fresher side at this point. And I think equal on ability, and I also think it's very hard to beat a team twice, you know, in a short period of time, unless you're significantly better than them. And the Roosters got the chocolates at Magic Round. I think there's extra emphasis, Parramatta. Not only that, but they can look and see it how the Roosters did it. And you kind of have the upper hand for adjustments when the other team beat you the first time around. So, look, as I said before, we've probably made excuses and been believers in the Roosters throughout this season. And the fact is now they're 7-7. And their season's kind of on the line here. They're off back-to-back defeats. I think it's a really tough spot for the Roosters. I wouldn't be shocked if they won because I do think they'll pour everything in. And this is a big round for a lot of teams because of the break is coming up. So you really always want to put your best foot forward before the break. And not to mention the Roosters' next opponent is Penrith. So it's kind of like if they lose this, they're staring down the barrel of four in a row. But you can't get past the fact that Parramatta also just going to be so desperate to put in this week. And I think that there's just a few edges across the park to Para and the forward pack as well being full strength. So I'm happy to ride with the Parramatta Eels there. And we're going to go mixed matchup too. We're just simply going to go Manly. As you heard, we like them first half. But Manly's team total, the good performance down at home on Friday night to outscore the Roosters team total, which obviously we're going against the Roosters in a couple of different manners. So $2.40, that is, on Top Sport. Have up to $200 on that. The sign-up code is Tripod. If you want a toppy account, I think we've made the case for both of those sides for Manly and against the Roosters, if you like it, if you agree. Sunday, the Raiders host the Knights at GIO. The line is 10.5, Raiders favourite. And they do get back Rapana from suspension, and Papali'i will be in the starting side again. The Knights have dropped Fitzgibbon, which brings Mann to the starting back row. Ponga was knocked out early in the Panthers game and is named, but he has to pass protocols. And of course, this Knights side still doesn't have Best or Daniel Saifidi. I felt like a double-digit line was a kind of a fair few points in this one, Podonis, but it's hard to back the Knights when you're not sure about Ponga.
Yeah, this is another game similar to the Sharks one where I could only lean the favourite, but I just feel that the line's probably a bit too big. And I did see the 10.5 and felt that it was a bit high as well. But then if Ponga did play, then I definitely don't want to be laying the -10.5. But there's also a chance that he can get ruled out. And then in that case, we'll probably see shift to probably 12, something around that range. And
oh, easy. Maybe 14.
Maybe 14, yeah. Canberra have improved leaps and bounds over the last month or so. So everyone's high on them again, and I don't like to bet on those teams where I don't think we've bet on Canberra at all in that stretch either. So we sort of missed the boat on them, I feel, in terms of value. And I can't see them losing the game outright, so I can only see them winning. So it's tough to bet on Newcastle in that scenario. So for me, it's either Canberra or pass, but I think it's one of those ones where we just have to pass the game.
It's actually similar in terms of the spot for the previous game, Parramatta Roosters. You got Canberra has come off a very physical toll. If you look at their opponents in the last month, they played Eels, Roosters, Broncos. Those are all top eight opponents. Not only that, all those games went down to the wire. While the Knights had a bye 2 weeks ago and then played Penrith, and it wasn't even close. It certainly didn't go down to the 80th minute. So I feel like Canberra's a good enough side to make the finals, but if they are going to, they have to win a home game like this. And the fact that Ponga could be ruled out, then it would massively favour the Raiders. But look, if Ponga plays, as I said, maybe the spot is not such a bad one for the Knights, getting double digits. But you just, if you back a team and their best player, their status is up in the air, then you just open yourself up to get screwed. So maybe if you like the Knights, you don't play it till you hear Ponga is definitely through the concussion protocol later in the week on Sunday. The line may not creep down because the public will be on Canberra. Finally, the battle of the Parramatta Slayers. The Bulldogs host the Tigers, and the line is 1.5. Bulldogs favoured, and this is also our jersey giveaway game. So comment YouTube or Facebook. This show, as well as Winning Mood, which we do live at 7:30, I'm joined by the 2021 Supercoach champion, the final try scorer, and the minute that they're going to score as a tiebreaker. Look, the Dogs have no major changes. Why would you change a side that got their best win in years on Monday? The Tigers get back Dewey, who will return in 2022 from the knee reconstruction via the bench. Kapoa is in for the suspended Naden. Leilua, who I mentioned earlier, he's out after being granted that early release. Tuilagi will take his spot in the back row. One other thing, to be honest, it does actually annoy me, the Bulldogs. They could beat the Eels by 30, but when our 30-1 multi was riding on them, they couldn't beat St. George at Belmore with a second-half lead. So, you know, we complained a bit about the Dogs at that point in time. We said Dufty's hurting them too much. Well, now they've shifted in Averillo. He's doing really well. Might have found a home, like a regular NRL position, because Averillo's played everything from utility and all the backline jerseys, 1 through 7, but he's going well at fullback. It's no coincidence that Kiraz, since he's joined the team, that they're more electric in attack. Corey Allen was in the last couple of weeks. You've got a scorned Fox. You can't tell me he's not playing with an edge. Burton, another guy who had a shocker that week. We needed him against the Dragons. He's been really good the last couple of weeks too. And the biggest difference of all, the coaching change. Potter, the wizard, coming in and very much responsible for a Bulldog side that has scored more points in the last 4 weeks than they did in the first 10 under Barrett.
Yeah, that was extremely frustrating given that they put in a performance like that. It just shows you the highs and lows of the rugby league roller coaster. When we need them to perform, they let us down. But I read somewhere yesterday, and you'll find this funny as well, that this game is going to be called the Cameron Serrato Cup. And I thought that was a poetic tagline with two teams looking for new managers and looking to find an identity and into next year and beyond. And the Dogs couldn't have looked any more impressive last week, as everyone's read and heard and watched. And everyone's going to be tipping the Dogs this week, and they're going to be the public side for sure. So I don't really feel that I agree with that. And I couldn't really split these two sides and felt that it was a pretty even contest. And if the line was a little bit higher, then I probably would lean the Tigers. But I'm not sure how much line value we are getting at this stage, given that the Dogs are at home and their crowd will be buoyed by last week's win. And as you touched on, someone like Addo Carte and Burden are playing well, and he does have an extra edge to him. So at this stage, for us, it's a pass.
Yeah, look, as punters, we do not want to suffer from recency bias. But when there's fundamental changes, and I mentioned like some of those players coming into the side, positional, coaching, style, when that changes and then the performance changes, well, you do need to understand that and weight those recent performances more highly as a representation of what a team is capable of. And that makes the Bulldogs hard to go against here because they really have kind of turned the page. But that being said, I'm kind of with you. I would more so lean to the Tigers, because I don't see them as a dead team. It's still nearly half the season to go. I think last week's score was a bit misleading because it was a bit tighter and blew out late. And I do think Noddy, now he gets a full week to maybe produce the new coach bump. Dewey might boost him as well. And we mentioned like Dane Laurie's only recently got back. He's big. Hastings and Brooks are still a pretty capable halves pairing on that side. Like, I really still admire the way Hastings is playing in this side. I think the key to the game for the Tigers is, can they aim up in the middle of the field and stop players and rampaging players like Pango Jr.? But at least the Tigers are lucky that Thompson remains out for the Dogs. So I do see this as pretty much a coin flip, where I think a lot of other regular, say, punters and tipsters are going to naturally side with what they've seen more recently, and that will be the Bulldogs. But I couldn't make a case that the Bulldogs are great value in this one, but they are certainly playing a bit more exciting brand of footy. So that might actually justify being the Channel 9 game this week. Hopefully it's an entertaining one, and good luck with your chance to win a jersey, guys. That'll do it. That's our thoughts on the 8 games, our 4 best bets. We'll share our mixed matchup. As I said, I'm live in a couple of hours or hour and a half to talk a bit of Supercoach as well with Tim, who is in the top 0.1%. There's over 100,000 people playing Supercoach. If you're interested to hear kind of how we think players will go and some anytime try score bets, thanks for joining me as always. But Donis, look out for a multi or two and the things we share usually on Dabble and also in the group. Let us know your thoughts. Gamble responsibly as always.